I noticed again this evening, as I was sitting here, the quiet before the service. I want you to know I appreciate that. I think it's very fitting that we quiet our hearts before God as we anticipate His word to us. Appreciate the opening, the song selection, and the prayer time. And I did notice tonight, too, I think the youth are outnumbering all the prayer groups. And bless you for that. Appreciate your interest in prayer for these meetings. It's a Saturday evening, and I realize that. I realize that tomorrow is a full day. And Brother Darrell, thank you for quoting our theme verses. I'm not going tonight. You took care of it. And it saves us a few minutes, and I think that's good. I look back on your attendance board, and I see that last Sunday, somebody counted that you had 75 people here. And I see that the Sunday before that, somebody counted and you had 91 people here. And so if I can count correctly on the back bench, I got 1, 2, 3. The next bench, 1, 2, 3. So we got 6. So we can count. I can count. You all can count. And we could walk around here, and I see you got all this beautiful wainscoting with vertical lines, and we could start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we could keep counting all the way around this building, and we would know how many vertical lines you have in your wainscoting because we can count. Tonight I want to talk about a count that really matters. The title of the message is Counted for Jesus Christ. I invite you to the Old Testament book of Daniel this evening, Daniel chapter 3. By the way, last evening, while you're turning there, we were invited to spend some time with the young people. We enjoyed that a lot. And somewhere through the message last night, I made a few comments that referred to technology, and that prompted a little discussion and question while we were with the young people last night. And Lord willing, I don't think I'll forget, but Lord willing, maybe Sunday evening, I will pursue a few of those thoughts. I think they'll fit into the message. I'll share some things that are on my heart along that line. I appreciated your interest in that. Daniel chapter 3, I'd like to start reading at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. I'll stop there a few moments. So we have a king here, and he makes this big idol, golden image, 90 foot tall, big as a, tall as a silo, 9 foot wide, gold, a golden image, big old thing. And he sets it up in the plain of Dura, and I don't know exactly what that was, but I just imagine a big wide open space of some kind, and he invited a bunch of people there. Everybody was supposed to come. Anybody that was somebody was supposed to be there. I don't know exactly what this king was thinking. Why would he want to do this? It seems to me that there was some pride involved here. I don't think he cared so much about the people worshiping the idol as what it brought to him. It was doing something to his ego and his position. It made him feel good. And he gave this command. He had somebody herald out, made sure everybody heard that when you hear the music, fall down and worship this thing. Okay, so we come to verse 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded they bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before him. So we got the accusation here. So exactly, it had happened exactly as he wanted it to. They had set this thing up. The band started up, the music. Now, this music, I don't think was hymns. I don't think it was Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I think this was probably bad music. It was a bad king. It was a heathen nation. I'm not going to say it was rock music, but it wasn't good. And this music started up, and lo and behold, three men didn't bow down. And the king was angry. And he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought in there. He said, listen, guys. He was mad at them, but he did kind of like them. He said, I'm going to give you a second chance, young man. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I'm going to give you another chance. I don't think you understood. And they said, king, we understood all right. Oh, yeah, we understood. We don't need a second chance. You can give us a third chance or a hundredth chance. It's not going to change what we're doing. You see, friends, when that music started, everybody else bowed down. And I got this mental picture in my mind. We read this Bible story to our children when they're little. And in that picture, it has everybody down, down. Even the donkeys were bowing in our picture. Everybody was down except one, two, three. Three young men stood out like a sore thumb. It was so easy to see them. Everybody else was down, almost flat. And there they stood. They could have compromised people. They could have said, they could have had a quick little meeting and said, hey, Shad, Meshach, hey, what are we going to do? I don't know. I'll tell you what. Let's just, we'll stand up in our heart, but we'll bow down. We'll bow down, but we'll stand up in our heart. They didn't do that. They didn't compromise. They stood out and they were counted one, two, three. Men that would not bow the knee to an old idol. Gold. Friends, tonight, there is a place to stand to be counted for Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the narrow way that we talked about last night. You get counted there for Jesus Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Old Testament men. But they knew how to be counted for something when it really matters. And I know we know how to count a lot of things. You know, we can count when it comes to farming. We can count our cows and we can count our acres that we're farming and how many bushels we're getting per acre. We count a lot of things. We can count how many houses we build or how many jobs we've done. We can count our money. We can count our deer and how many antlers they have and how big they are, 145, 150, 180. We can count our shoes. We can count our sweaters, maybe. And, you know, we can count a lot of things. Brothers and sisters, life, as we have said this week, can get really distracting. It can get complicated. And there are twists and turns. There are ups and downs. There's low valleys. There's high mountains. We got to crawl over. There are things in life that aren't fair, we could say. There's opportunities we miss. There are relationships that are difficult. There are money problems. There are health problems. But in the end, at the end of the day, at the end of life, only one thing really matters, and that is to be counted for Jesus Christ. That's it. Life is that simple. I'd like to take you to the New Testament, and I'd like to look at two men that missed that count in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, I'm just going to cut in on these stories. I'm not going to read a lot of verses. Verse 22. 24:22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, this chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Paul was a prisoner, and here he is before Felix, the Roman governor. And he gives his testimony, and he gives a little message to Felix, and he preaches the gospel. And it says that Felix heard it. He was listening, and he was convicted. In fact, he was convicted so bad, he trembled physically, was shaking. He was convicted that much. Because Paul talked to him about righteousness and about personal responsibility and about judgment that was to come. And Felix said this. He said, when I have a more convenient time, I will call for thee. Now let's go another chapter or two, chapter 26. Verse 26:24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now we have Paul with Festus, a Roman governor, and this time he's got King Agrippa there in his audience, and Paul gives his life story, and what a life story it is. He tells them how he was a sinner, and he persecuted the church, and he says how Jesus came and the light shone and struck him to his knees, and how he gave his heart to Jesus, and it changed his life. And he said, now I'm a preacher of the gospel, and the gospel takes us out from the power of darkness to the light of the glorious gospel. He gave a ringing testimony, and he said, King Agrippa, you get it, don't you? I know you get it. And King Agrippa said, almost. I would want to be a Christian. Almost. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. It doesn't matter if you were a farmer or a housewife, a seamstress, a mason, a truck driver. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter who you know. At the end of the day, only one thing matters, and that is that you are counted for Jesus Christ. Did Felix ever get counted for Jesus Christ? Not that I know of. I don't believe it's recorded in the Word of God that he did. He said, in essence, in my words, he said, I'll get right with God when it's a more convenient time. That's what he said. It's not a good time right now, Paul, but when it's a good time, when it suits me really good, I will. You know, he never found that right time. Friends, tonight, if there is a need in our hearts, if we are convicted of something from God's Word and God's Spirit convicts us, it's never convenient. It's always difficult. It never feels like a good time to repent. It never feels like a good time to get serious. It never feels like a good time to give it all up. Convenient, it won't be. The devil makes sure of it. King Agrippa said, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. Now that sounds pretty good, but did that almost do him any good? Nope, not that I know of. It ended at almost. Friends, tonight, how do you get counted for Jesus Christ at the cross? Now Romans says For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that verse includes everybody who has ever born into the whole world. All have sinned. So we come into this world, and when we come to the age of accountability, we've all at the same place. We are short of God without the blood of Jesus Christ, separated from God. All have sinned. And that's a problem, friends. It puts us outside of the count. When we are separated from God, we're not counted for Jesus Christ. And so we need the cross. I'd like to run through just very quickly a few scriptures. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The blood Jesus shed on the cross. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, passes, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We need the cross. We need the blood. We need Jesus to take our sins. He takes our sins because we can't do anything about it. He takes them and nails them to his cross so that we are forgiven. Oh, it's beautiful, friends. Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The only way, friends, to get counted is the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no forgiveness. And there are many verses we could go to tonight that tell us that the cross is where we get counted. I like that song. I don't know what it's entitled, but it talks about the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There was a thief hanging beside Jesus on the cross. And he was headed for hell. The flames of hell were licking his feet. He was about to drop into an eternity pit. And then he saw the blood from this man on the cross beside him. And the song says he rejoiced to see that blood in his day because that saved him. That Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. That's where we get counted for Jesus Christ. You know, you can count attendance all day long, and it's just an exercise of our brain. The count that matters is at the cross. It doesn't matter if you're a young person that has never been saved, or you're an older person that has been saved, but you've fallen back. We all need to come to the cross in the blood of Jesus Christ. We kneel at that cross, and the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow. And we are counted. There's a song that I really like, and if I was a good soloist, I would maybe sing it for you. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a good soloist. I really like this old song. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages, and on that line stands an old rugged cross. And on that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. And there's a number of verses, but the chorus said, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. Then I heard that the King of all ages had fought all the battles for me, and victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. That line that has been drawn through the ages is the line that goes from earth all the way to the glory gates of heaven. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. Friends, it is on that line that we need to stand to be counted for Jesus Christ. It's a line of commitment. It's a path of holiness. It's a line that separates the righteous from the unrighteous. It's a line where men and women stand that they're soldiers and they fight their spiritual battle. It's a line where we stand and it says, I'm not part of this world, but I'm looking for a city built of God. in your minds tonight, I would like for you to picture this place where we stand to be counted. That line, as it were. And as I just picture that line that runs to heaven and the people going to heaven, people that have gone on before me, it's a beautiful line. It's a beautiful place to walk. It's the right way. It's the right path. There's light on that path. The light of Jesus lights it up. It's an encouraging line. We're all going that direction. And that's where you get counted. I can also tell you tonight what that line is not. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ when you're hanging out at the local bar, and I'm just putting it in plain words. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ if you're doing drugs. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ if you're wrapped up in pornography, feeding on pornography. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ if you're lukewarm in your heart, or if you got bitterness in your heart or unforgiveness in your heart. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ if you love the world or the things of the world. You don't get counted for Jesus Christ if we got pride in our heart. Place where we stand to get counted. The Bible says it's a narrow way. It's for those that have taken up their cross and crucified self. They get counted for Jesus Christ. Is God still counting today? We know that God counted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw them. In fact, He went with them into the fiery furnace, and whoever you want to say that was. But there was God, Jesus, angel, whatever you want to say it was, in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw them. He counted them for righteousness. Does God still count today? I'll give you another true story. I think it was about 7 years ago, possibly, I went into Pugsley. Pugsley is our local correctional center, jail. It's no longer there, but we would go in every Thursday night and we would have a service. And I went in one Thursday night. I was on by myself that night. And in that correctional facility, it was 1,300 inmates, approximately. And out of those 1,300 inmates, there was maybe 20 to 30 that would come to a religious service. Being a Christian is not very popular in a prison. Anyhow, I got in there that Thursday night, and these men that were in there, they were a buzz. I mean, there was something, there was a spark there, there was a fire there, and I started listening to them, and I picked up that something had happened. And so they explained to me what happened that previous weekend. This was a Thursday, so the weekend before, they had what they called a Curex weekend, and I don't know what that means exactly, but it was religious services. And it was some type of a revival, I'm going to just call it. Probably more in our way. They probably can't call it revival meetings. But it was some kind of a spiritual meetings they had in the prison the previous weekend. Well, they had these meetings several times throughout the day. And after one of the meetings, there were several of the Christians that exited the building the meetings were in. They came out of the door and then exited out onto the outdoor basketball court. And on the basketball court were several non-Christians playing basketball, shooting hoops. And they taunted these Christians, they mocked them, they made fun of them, and then they challenged them, let's play basketball. And they said, no, we don't want to. And so they're walking away, and one of the non-Christians took the ball and he shoved it into the Christian's hands. He said, let's play basketball. And the non-Christian was walking away, this is a true story, walking away from the basket, his back to the basket, he was about 20 feet away, and just took the ball and just went like that. Swish, it went right through. And the non-Christian went and got that ball, and he brought it back, and he put it in that Christian's hands, and he said, here, you do that again. And if it doesn't go in, it proves there is no God. And that Christian took the ball, and swish, it went right through. Is God still counting today? I believe, friends, he is. I believe that he sees the Shadrachs, the Meshachs, and the Abednegos. In October of 2014, 9.5 years ago, a young boy slipped and fell into a tiger pen in the New Delhi Zoo, India. Obviously, different fences than what we have in American zoos. This boy fell into a tiger pen. The surprised tiger watched and played with the crouching boy for 15 minutes. Bystanders watched, yelled, threw stones, and videoed, but no one went to his rescue. The boy was finally carried off and killed by the giant cat. If that had been your boy, your son, would you have videoed the event? Would you have yelled and screamed for 15 minutes? Or would you have convinced some friends to join you in saving his life? Friends, tonight, God is calling for men and women to be counted, to step into the tiger pen, to stand up for Jesus Christ. There is plenty of conservative Mennonites that will do the videoing, but are we of the ones that will get in the tiger pen and stand and be counted for the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is going to be a final count someday. Someday it's all going to wind down to a final count. And what a day that's going to be. And Jesus talks about it, and I'm not going to read a lot of scripture tonight, but in Matthew 24, he talks about how as the lightning splits the sky in an instant, he says, I'm going to come back, and you're going to see the Son of Man in the clouds. And 1 Thessalonians talks about how the trumpet, there's going to be a shout, and the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is coming back. And Revelation chapter 1 says, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. The battle's going to be over. And then in Revelation 22, it says it this way. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. In Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly. And then he goes on down and he says how that's going to end up. In verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Friends, there is going to be a final count. And when that trumpet sounds, I believe that when the trumpet sounds, the count will have already been counted. He said, I'm coming, and you're going to see me, and you're going to hear the trumpet, and my rewards are with me. It's already counted. And those that are unjust, they're going to be on the unjust. Those that are holy are going to be holy. There's no more changing at that point when the trumpet sounds. The final count. And friends, tonight, that final count is going to be on an ordinary day. That's what the Bible tells us. It teaches us that. It's going to be on an ordinary day. And how you are counted on that ordinary day will be the final count. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. And on that line stands men and women that are counted for Jesus Christ. And I have an imagination, but as I look up that line, and I see the cross and past the cross, I see Abraham and Moses and David and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, Peter and Paul, Grandma and Grandpa, Mom and Dad, what about me? What about you? What about our sons and daughters? Friends, are you counted for Jesus Christ? Somebody, this is not original with me, somebody wrote this imaginary scene. So there was a fence, and there was a lot of people. Imaginary scene, think about a big, long fence, miles, maybe as far as you can see, a fence. A lot of people on either side. This fence divided the people. On one side were Christians that were following Jesus and doing what Christians do. On the other side of the fence were unbelievers from the kingdom of this world following the devil and do what unbelievers do. One day, the trumpet sounded and those on the side of the fence that were following Jesus rose up into the clouds. Eternal bliss. Those on the other side of the fence had no option other than following their leader, the devil, and dropping into hell. After a while, the devil came back to the fence just to make sure that there was nobody left behind. Sure enough, one man was sitting on the fence. The devil said to the man, "I want you to know I own the fence too." Friends, tonight, have you made your calling election sure? I hope there's nobody here tonight on the fence or on the wrong side of the fence. Can we say tonight with the songwriter that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Can we say that tonight, friends? Young people, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, my plea tonight is this. Don't live just for today or for tomorrow. Live for eternity. Are we counted for Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together this evening, on a special Saturday night. You know our hearts, God, tonight. And if perhaps there's somebody here tonight that isn't counted for Jesus, and if your spirit is drawing someone tonight, I pray for courage. I pray that if there was someone here like that tonight, that they could experience the beauty, the joy, the peace of having burdens rolled away and being counted with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this congregation. And if you come back tonight, God, if you choose to send Jesus back tonight, or even if you choose to send Jesus back and we hear a trumpet sound before we get out of this building, I just pray that we could all exit this place through the roof to join you in the air. If there are those here tonight that did not have the courage to make a commitment, I pray that they would continue to consider, Lord, and they would seek someone out. They don't have to do it here in this meeting, but I pray they would seek someone out and they would find peace and joy in their hearts. We commit that to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.